yeah, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Paul.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
What's up now, motherfucker?
This is the show that shows no limits. Broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists. Still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealed that they're teaching the rappers to come and get them put on. We need to the platform to fight the main. Show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on screen and follow up with it.com for all of your needs. Production and mixing and mastering. Grab it, just download the time. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Buddy, you kind of see what it did. So everything free to download and see. Oh, yeah, we deserve the real.
Unstoppable, we be revived up as we represent. All them killers on the mic and we should love to all your fans. Motherfuckers wanna hate. Do your thing, we keep the focus. Bringing nothing but the rules that come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a man-made guy. Crazy knocking all you rappers off.
Welcome to Murder Master Music Show. This is episode 681. Man, we're all on lockdown, quarantine, whatever you want to call it. This coronavirus, this shit's real, man. People are getting it everywhere, all over the globe, you know what I'm saying? But, man, we're going to do what we got to do, man. The show must go on regardless. So tonight we're going to, man, we're going to go straight to Memphis because Memphis is one of those spots that's just so rich with history in the game. You know what I'm saying? So many people over the years bit Memphis a little bit from here, a little bit from there, and never really gave the city credit. Well, when you look at the history of the city of Memphis, of course, you're going to think of, you know what I'm saying, Al Capone. You're going to think of, you know, Indo G, Little Blunt. You're going to think of, you know, Money Butt Naked. You're going to think of, you know what I'm saying, Lord Infamous, rest in peace. You're going to think of all these people, man, but you can't not think of Memphis without thinking of Gangster Pat, without thinking of 8-Ball and MJG, Skinny Pimp, and our guest tonight, you know what I'm saying, Reginald Boylan from OTS Records, On the Strength Records, man. You can't mention Memphis. You know, DJ Spanish Fly. I mean, Reginald, welcome to the show, man. I can go on and on and on.
How
about
you doing,
all the
man?
People in Memphis, man. There's so many people. I'm hanging in there, brother. How about yourself?
Good,
you doing,
man.
All right?
Good, man. Just quarantined at the house, chilling, man. Just, you know,
yeah,
trying to sit,
man,
back and relax. Stay it out the way, man. Stay it out the way, you know? Pretty
crazy,
much.
Crazy time for all of us, for sure.
Yeah,
but,
we'll get through it.
Most definitely, man. But, you know, I'm just trying to tell them about all the artists that came out of Memphis, man. There's so many we can name. But, man, the doors were really kicked open by OTS on the Strength Records, man. You're at the forefront of the history of Memphis. You know what I'm saying? How does that make you feel, knowing that Memphis is such an influential city, you know what I'm saying, and you're right there at the beginning?
Hey, man, it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like it's a blessing, man, to even be involved and to, you know, have the facilities and to work with all the talent that I work with, you know what I mean? And to watch them flourish, that's a beautiful thing, man. I mean, you know, it's speechless. I don't know. It's just great work, man. You know, I'm happy to see where Memphis is with the music and and seeing where it's continued to go, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely,
yeah.
Definitely. You know, OTS,
yeah.
I'm saying, is a you know, say a legendary label, you know what I'm saying, one of the premier labels of the South. I mean, you got to look at, you know, Rap-A-Lot, Luke Records, you know what I'm saying, Cash Money, No Limit, and all these others, but you got to look at OTS. Sometimes you guys get overlooked, I think, you don't get the credit that you deserve. You know, is that about to change, man? It sounds like you're doing a lot of things in 2020 to kind of make that a point to really get your history out there.
Yeah, man, we got a lot of stuff going on, man. Just basically keep working on the music. I never stopped working, no way. That's what people don't know. I mean, I kept working even when I was in Atlanta because I had a studio here, and I was working with a lot of major artists recording at my studio. You know, Larry Blackmon, Whitney Houston, Sherelle, George, Clinton, Mars, man, you name them, man, because I put a studio up here on Peter Street. And that's pretty like a popular street here where they go out. But, you know, we like kind of started out over there when I left Memphis. I started a studio up here in Georgia. And, man, work with some of everybody, man. So I never stopped working, you know.
Yeah,
just kept it
going
pretty much, man. Yeah, yeah, because, you know, sometimes even if you're not making, you know, putting artists out there, you got a studio, you record, you providing services, and then you're networking with people too. So I encountered a lot of people, man, here, you know, in Atlanta when I moved the company to Atlanta from Memphis, you know. And it's been quite an experience, man. And I still, like I said, network with Memphis a lot too. I still work with a lot of artists down there, man. You know, and I help guys and kind
of
help them out with their music. And few of them I turned on to some lawyers with different legal situations, but you know, it's all good. And I'm just keeping my hands in it, man. Whatever I could do, you know, like a big brother figure, pretty much, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
even though some of them sometimes don't want to acknowledge it, you know, and it's cool, man. I mean, it used to bother me back in the day.
I've seen that,
you know. But now,
that,
you know,
man.
It don't even faze me, man. Yeah, man, you see with the Netflix deal, and that was cool. That's what they felt, man. But how can you have artists that I pretty much was behind 100,000% and nobody says nothing? But, you know, that's how it is in the city of Memphis. They try to bury stuff, but you can't bury a diamond. It's going to shine sooner or later. Yeah.
With a lot of these rap documentaries and biopic movies, they leave a lot of the important people out. You know,
well, they try to. They
just
don't
can't
know
do
the
that.
History, man. Nah, you can't,
yeah,
man, because we're still working. We're still working, and you never know what kind of break comes from, you know, you still being in the field, you know, entertainment field. They try to do that, but that's just how the city of Memphis is, man. Just like when for one instance, I guess they gave 8 Ball in the Hall of Famer, and, you know, instead of them announcing on their history, you know, when they give somebody an award like that, then they would talk about their history, and they didn't do any of that. So I just know the city and how it is, and that was one of the reasons why, man, I don't too much give a damn about that certain people in that city in certain positions, really, man. It's just the old heads and the people like you that got love for the real hip-hop and that know the story, you know. Because everybody ain't going to be everybody.
You're right.
You know?
You're right, man. There's some people that know the story, and they can't shut us all up, you know, at the end of the day.
Nah, come on, man.
One of the things I take pride in is we're able to give a voice to people that didn't have a voice, like the late DJ Reddy Red, for example. You know what I'm saying? We're able to get him national attention through our little outlet, you know what I'm saying? And that's a huge honor to be able to do that. But going
Let's
back to your history, though, you know, your history, you know what I'm saying, when did OTS start, man? Take us way back to the beginning.
Shit, man, we started back in almost 86, right about the beginning of 87. You know, that's when I started OTS, after the situation with my boy Anthony Collier, man. Somebody, God bless his soul, rest in peace. Somebody had murdered Tony, man. And that's when I kind of picked things up and kept going, you know. Reformed and incorporated the label. It was around about, right about, I guess, around 87, 88. It's been so long ago. And we just, you know, got with Pat. He had a few songs cut that him and Tone did. Because Tony was my guy. He's a good dude, man. He had a definitely good vision. He would have blew up, man. You know, but Memphis, like I said, it's a hating town, man.
Was Tony co-CEO with you at the time, or
nah? Tony was the man. I was just a friend and helping him if he needed anything or whatever, and you know, just
He's
a good friend.
He's the guy that got shot with Pat in the car.
Yeah, man. Tone. Tone was a cat. All love to him, man. Rest in peace to the brother. But, hey, man, that little cat was good. And he was rapping, too, man. Dude, I got a reel on him, a song called 100% Legit, unreleased, that he did. And we listened to it one day. Matter of fact, the day he got killed, man. It's ironic. But, you know, I'm glad I was able to step in and to keep it going because I never not mentioned his name, you know. I always got to mention his name to, you know, keep him in there, man, keep his dream because it was his thing and it went from there. And I'm glad I was in a position to do it and learn, you know, the trials and tribulation. It's, you know, working and trying to put that, keep that label, get that label.
Pat almost got that time too, right?
Yeah, I think Pat got hit too, man. It's pretty bad. Thank God he even, you know, didn't, man, you know.
He was just a
Pat
kid.
Was able to go on and make it. Yeah, he was a young guy. All them guys was kids, man. 8 Ball, I'm telling you, it was hard, man. I look at myself today, I say, I don't know how the hell I did it, man. I tell you,
that's
I had to pat myself on the back.
How did you pick up and run with it?
Hey, man, it was quite an experience, but it was an enjoyable experience. And it was, you know, watching them grow and being a part of a development, you know, like an artist development thing with them, man, and dealing with them cats and their situation from day to day, you know. Just working with them and seeing them blowing up, you know, to be legends and rappers, getting Oscars. And, you know, because I remember when they was all little dudes, man, they was young kids with dreams. Me being a young guy, you know, had a little money to the side and, you know, trying to be a CEO of a label, you know, that pretty much one of my guys had was doing his thing, but kept keeping his dream alive with everything. And went from there, man, and that's how things took off. Pat took off, got a lot of radio buzz, you know, got to going and got it to Joy Boy, went to Joy Boy. From there, went to Atlantic Records, you know. And at that time, I had a management agreement. Yeah, went to Joy Boy. They was doing bass music, MC Shady and Success and Effect. They had a lot of people down there, man. It was Alan Johnson and Rod Carey and Joy. Huh?
I remember that album, K-9 Bass by the Dogs. They had all kinds of people.
Yeah, they had the Dogs. We used to look at their covers. So they had a pressing plant. We went down there. Me and my guy that was helping me with promotions, and I took the masters and did a deal with them. You know, at that time, I had a little management agreement, man. We could shit. But I was learning, dude. I ain't no difference between a recording agreement and, you know, I knew management to have some type of percentage, but understanding the business of contracts, you know. And went down there with that, and they was able to kind of manipulate it. But A-Ball, and it was a little different. I kept those masters. They're still in the catalog today, you know. And that's why I get money from it, because they sampled it, 360 them, and it went from there, you know.
Yeah.
But you learn, though. You learn, man, because I lost a lot of money on Pat. They put a rip between us, man. It's crazy, man. Pat opened the door one time. Some cats came in the studio, took a lot of equipment, a lot of shit went down at that time, man. It was crazy. You know, so dealing with that, it wasn't easy. If anybody think it was easy, no. But, you know, everybody wanted to pick you out to be the bad guy, man. You know what I mean? Like an underdog type of thing. And that's why everything is kind of flourished for OTS now, you know, because one thing about it, when you ask something, you know, the real going to always rise to the top. Man. Cream always rise to the top, you know. So that's just how it is, man. Even if they try to bury it or say it ain't what it is, because they ain't. They can't. Shit, the truth is going to come out. The shit speaks for itself. The music speaks for itself. You know?
The music that
we did years ago. Huh?
It set in stone, man, because, you know, the record went from Joy Boy, like you said, to Atlantic. That was the first major deal for Memphis. Now, Pat, at this time, was he still on OTS, or was he doing his own thing and managing it?
I was managing pretty much. We were still in agreements because I was getting calls when the record got hot from different promoters to put them on shows and different things of that nature. Then I got Joy Boy and them to do two videos on them. We shot the first rap video down there. I'm the gangster. Then we shot Wanted for a Homicide. So I made Joy Boy and them do that. But when it came to the money, Oh, man, they kind of shifted on me. And then they kind of got in Pat head, too. It made me look like the villain. So that's the funny part. They always want you to be the villain, though. But as long as you're spending your money and helping them, doing shit, buying them clothes, taking them here, flying there, it's all good. But when the shit look like it's sour shit, a lot of them are turned to a whole nother different person. You know, that's the difference with this shit. Some of them are hanging there, some of them won't, you know. Same as with A-Ball and them, man.
A-Ball and MJC, they came out next after Pat, right? Or did you have
Apple pretty Palmer? Much. I was really working on Tila and Cody and Just Born, the level, second level. And Pat had, I was working on him. Pat was, we was kind of going through a little something at that time, man. You know, there was just a lot of stuff being said, you know. And he had a little group. He had the other psycho, Pedro, that was rapping too, but he was with the Legion and Big Mac 10. And then we was going to make Teal and them be the Legion to do them, but we didn't. So we worked on second level with them. So I was working on them, and then 8-Ball came down there. My boy brought 8-Ball down there, my boy named Roy Jackson. And I met 8-Ball, and then I signed 8-Ball as a solo artist. And his name was Primro. Well, he had a different name. It wasn't 8-Ball at that time, because when he came down, I think there was a group DOA or something. I mean, there was some high school stuff they was doing around the shows. But anyway,
so
when he came down.
He wasn't in the picture at that point then.
When I got 8-Ball first? No, it was 8-Ball first. Because if you look
so
at
he was
the first
solo
tape
artist.
Had,
okay.
Listen to the
yeah,
lyrics. You see 8-Ball and Organized None. But
yeah.
You see 8-Ball and Organized Rhyme. I'm sorry. And that was him, Killer B, and the fella. But when I heard how MJG rapped on that lyrics of a pimp shit, I put them together, dude. I told 8-Ball we was down there. We had them 8-Ball jackets. Who was going to name you 8-Ball, dude? Because you hard, you round, and you like a ball on that table. Maybe you're a hard, big black ball. So we named him that. And MJG, we named him after his initials, Marvin J. Goodwin. We just sit down and talk. You know, at the desk and put it together. And then went from there, man. That record took off. There's old Trump. It was a big gangster walk record. And we put a little maxi single out. It was selling out in stores, and a lot of duplicators was out duplicating us, too. So when I ordered them, I had to wait. But shit, the duplicators was wiring me out. So these guys really thought I was screwing them because, you know, how guys hear their record on the radio. People in their head and they're, man, y'all supposed to have cut. But it wasn't that easy because you got rent to pay, you got to pay promoters, you got to pay this, you got to pay that, they got a food bill, different things going on, you know. So it was a juggle thing, man. And then you have to wait with the record stores when you're doing consignment. You got to wait 30 days on your money. You know, so it was a lot of things that they didn't understand, though, you know. And
yeah,
that's what
A-Ball was talking about in coming up. OTS was home then, listen to the lyrics. Man, how did that make you feel hearing that at that time? You know what I'm saying? Because it was so recent, you know, after that they had split and went to Suave.
I loved it. When they went to Suave House, actually, they used a lot of titles that we had, like Pimps in the House, Niggas Like Us. Robbery. We had to cut some of them songs at OTS because I was carrying me working up and finishing up the album. But, you know, dude kind of got up under, man. And at that time, I was going in a little rut money wise, you know, but I was still trying to maintain everything, you know. And, you know, when things look shaky, sometimes people run, man. They don't be as real as, you know, it seems, you know, like you would think they would be, you know, the shit. They ran off, man, you know. And when they went to Suave, you know, that's when, you know, they came out with Coming Out Hard. But I still was happy for them because I was able to rebound off them because I put an album together for them. There's Old Pimp, and I put that out and made me some good money, man. And shit, still making money because they sampling that shit. 3-6 did.
Yeah,
and that 3-6 shit in different artists'
that.
Music.
Yeah,
Wiz Khalifa.
Hey.
Got Where is the Book? Shit, Trippy Red.
30 years later.
I had to pay now. Yeah, man. Trippy Red don't got to pay now, man. They know what it is.
I seen that. You filed suit, man. Yo, yeah, I also seen that Paul, I believe, said he was going to file a countersuit. Is that still ongoing, or did you guys drop
Come on, what kind of countersuit are you going to file in 2015? We actually got a settlement agreement with them when I first sued him for the records, man, when I knew that he was sampling the music. So we settled on that. I got 100% publishing, 100% composition, and 100% of revenue. So what happened is they had a publishing agreement that wasn't, it was edited. The proposal went to BMI so that I can have the transfer of the music into my catalog. And that shit was edited, man. And so I had to call BMI, text, email them like 300 emails, man. And I had to take them back through arbitration. We went back through the AA. And that was recently in 2018 and found out they owed some more money. So I made them sign some more paperwork. So when I got the correct paperwork that I needed to get the music in my catalog. So in the midst of that, Black Youngster was playing it on the IG, and he was in the truck bumping the hitter motherfucker. So Moneybag Yo emailed him and said that he wanted to, we should redo that. So I guess Paul keyed in on it. And I guess some kind of way Paul made contact. But by that time, I had talked to Head and them over there. You know, they over Alias. They over Moneybag Yo. And I sent them the information and told them that I own 100% of that record and publishing and everything. And he told me that Paul told him that we had something to do with it. So I guess Paul didn't use it. And what had ended up happening, I just happened to check the old one, and I seen somebody saying something about Trippy Red. Yeah, he signed with that. Woo-woo-woo-woo. So I go Google that shit. I be down with Trippy Red. I got the record with the baby on it. So I put my lawyer on notice quickly, and Paul tried to come with some old 1997 motherfucking agreement, lease agreement. Ain't got shit to say with digital in it, thinking that he owned the rights to it, which he don't. You know, if you sample and you clear a record, then you cannot re-release a record again, you know. And besides, that contract is obsolete, you know. It's because we just settled in 2015. And also we settled in 2019, which I have the paperwork. So right now I'm dealing with Sony and Universal right now on this lawsuit. And we're working that out, though. Paul's out to fix him, man. He ain't got no ground, man. That man done, man, for real. He stick a fork in her. He know he wrong, and I think Squeaky finna come down on him for that G-Eazy record. You know, you just got to be right, man. I think a lot of cats suing them cats because I know Cooster died arguing with that boy, about his money, man. That boy had a stroke, man. And his girl had the Texas. It was pretty bad. I know his family, so that's why they out down there suing him with the lawyer that they got, man. In life, you just got to be right, man. Too much shit going on, man. You can have all the money in the world. You might walk out there and fall out and die tomorrow, man. But your legacy
especially
will be
now
shit.
With the shit going on.
Taking shit. Right, man. So you want to leave a good legacy. One thing I say I can leave, I help these kids to develop a career, regardless if they give me props or whatever. I don't need nobody patting me on my back for my work, man. My work speaks for itself. You know, and I'm still working. I ain't done working, man. I'm doing movies, all kind of shit. Working on Aretha Franklin movie with Jennifer Hudson and all that that's coming out to Aretha, and working at Tyler Perry, you know, doing a little background, different extra stuff. Just, you know, just getting into different things.
How did you get into
all
that?
At an older age, man. Oh, man, up here in Atlanta, I started playing cops on, Baby Driver with Jamie Foxx, Millman. Doing that extra shit, then over at Tyler Perry, Tupac, they cut my scene, but I was in there. I just started doing a friend time now, and I like it because I always kind of liked the film because I did the choices, and I got perceived pretty well in that. They liked me for that character, so people would even recite lines to me, so I knew then, I said, I could do this shit, you know, and I just get in there, and I go, even though if I do the extra shit, there might be a lot of people, but I go there just to, you know, network and meet people, and I get a chance to meet a lot of celebrities that people know. that's on the screen, you know. And I usually take the picture, I post it on my, you know, on my page, you know. I work with Taraji and Best of Enemies. Really had a scene right by her, but I didn't come back that day because I had something to do, though. But, so it was different ones, man, up here, you know, people that I encountered doing that. And I just do that because I'm bored, man. When I get bored, I do that shit. If not, I'm in the studio or working, pretty much like retired, you know what I mean? We're still working, though, still in the ring, though, you know.
Well, it sounds like you're enjoying yourself, man.
It
sounds like you're having a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, that's what life's about, man. I wouldn't have never known that music that we, you know, produced and done years ago would, you know, actually be in the, it take an effect like it is on people. You know, a lot of kids going back to it and sampling. Just like we used to go back to the old R&B records and sample the Stax music and Motown and all that. Now they go back and sample all the damn hip hop shit from the 90s and 80s, the new millennial kids. And that shit working, so it's good. Because I got plenty of it in the catalog, man. I got some shit, and there's shit coming out too, man. I got a new artist, my cousin, coming out, Kodak 1K. You're going to hear a lot about him, man. He's hot too.
Yeah, we got a very song from him. Yeah, I believe we're going to play here in a minute. Tell me about him.
When did he start
coming out?
He's good, man. I've been, you know, keeping him on the radar about, came to me 7 years ago, but I always watched him, and he's my family member. And as time, you know, went by, he actually, you know, he got better and better, man. I just said, I'm ready, you know. He was ready, so I'm giving him a shot, man. He's good. He's very creative with his words. You know, he's focused. He don't drink. He don't smoke. He's ready. You know what I mean? He's ready to take him on. And I'm behind him 1,000%. You know,
how would you describe his style, man? Being that you work with some of the greats like Pat, Ball, and G, how is the Kodak style?
He's going to be one of the greatest, like Ball, no? He's creative with his words. He's very clever. If you listen to what he say, man. That man say his outfit is deceased. He's so fresh to death. I had to rest on that shit. And one time, man, I was rapping in the studio, and he said, man, I'm going to blow your brains out so you see the thoughts in your hand. Come on, man, think about that shit, Press. I'm just saying some of his lyrics. I ain't just shit. I done heard him say, blow your brains out and let you see your thoughts in your hand. Come on, man. I ain't heard no shit like that. You know what I mean? Hold up for
that's
one second.
That's something original, man.
Yeah. Hold up for one second, Prayer. Give me one second here, man. Hold up.
Yeah,
I'm right back. I'm sorry, man. Yeah, but he's a lyricist, man. He's a lyricist, and he wanted to, man. He's a good dude, man, for real. And I'm behind him 1,000%, man. Like, we got a video finna come out to the song called Yeah, Yeah, Going Live, and we finished that up. It should be coming out next week, and it'll be in iTunes soon, too, and all the platforms through TuneCore.
Yeah, we're going to... Those of you listening, we're going to close the show out with that song here so you guys can hear Kodak.
Before
we do that, though, I want to bring on the homie Sin from France. I know he's got a couple questions for you. Sin, how you doing over there, brother?
Yes, sir. Hi, Scott. Hi, legendary Reginald Boylan.
What's up, Sin? I know about you, man. I've been seeing you on Facebook, man. I keep up with you.
Yeah.
I see you in the club over there.
Yeah, I was back in the day, you know, see Joji from No Name. It's just crazy at this time.
Yeah.
I got a question, yes, about DJ Paul and Lalo Famous, when they came in the OTS record, back then, they were on Serial Killer's days, high grade. There was Sudai, at the time, Scarface Al Capone, when he was in the Man of the Hour, for B.U.A., Gangsta Bat, Psycho. Do you remember some things about Paul and Lord when they came at OTS at this time? Some things about them.
Come on, Paul and Lord.
When they came at OTS.
Yeah, I remember when they came to OTS. I was about to sign Paul and Lord Infamy, man. Because Paul's brother brought them to me, man. Him and Lord were just a group together at first. And Paul's brother, Phil, he lived in Chicago. He brought them in. I was about to sign Paul and them, man. But Paul was called in the studio, you know what I'm saying? He was called in the studio, and, you know, and we was talking a lot, you know. And I used to tell him a lot of stuff, but Paul was a real, like, hip-hop fan, man. You know what I mean? That boy studied that game. That's why he was able to master it. But the only thing about it, Paul just should have just kept it business with a lot of people, helped a lot of the fellas down there, man. You know what I mean? You don't want to have to tarnish your legacy on taking people's stuff and putting it where you want it and don't want to pay, man. You want to be right about what you do. Because the boy's creative, man. Him and Juice, you know?
What was Lord Infamous like back then?
Oh, man, Lord was cool, man. Lord Infamous was cool, man. He's a good dude. He's just quiet, though. His ass be damn near full sometimes, but he was cool, man. Lord, he was a great guy, man. He's very creative, though, you know. And he,
Did Lord Infamous record it sometimes at your house, yes? At first, did Lord Infamous record it at your studio?
I don't know.
Sometimes.
He might have, man. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you, man. There's so many of them recorded there. You know, it was so many of them recorded there that I can't even remember half of them. You had a lot of them. That was a list, man. Because they was wanting to come up, man. A lot of them wanted to see what Pat was doing. They seen Pat on the video. They seen, because they had the Video Box channel back then. And, you know, them dudes was young coming up, man. I wouldn't even knew if them cats had got the way it was. But, you know, me and Juicy and Paul, and we kept doing stuff. We did movies and music, a couple of albums together, you know, different things. And then they would sample the music, half the shit I didn't know, because I didn't listen to their music like that, you know. I always liked it, the production end, though, you know. I listened to a few songs, but I just want to listen to all their music like that, though. 3-6 number at that time, though. But we would talk a lot about stuff, though, you know what I mean? And I would tell them, I said, keep that Pepper shit in there, too, man. That's why they said, oh, you know what I'm saying? So they kind of put that in a lot of that flavor. That's why the music had a lot of that Hutch in it and different stuff. Because I told them, I said, that'll always win, man. They like that, man. That's part of the M-Town. Making money easy, pimping hoes and style, though. Real tough. Real street. But it worked. They got an Oscar for that shit, dude. Real tough. 8 Ball and the one on that, man. My shit, Space Age Pimping, I made that shit up, though. That was my slogan. That you can hear it on Gangsta Pat album. I said, it's a Space Age thing. It was on that Project Pimp. But it's all good. I'm just telling you. You know, because Memphis got a lot of that street shit in it like that. And everybody want to think they're a pimp, but they ain't. Some of them be getting pimped on. Yeah. But it's all good, though, man. Yeah.
Also, you got Psycho Tagon Bell, generally the devil shit song.
Yeah.
He produced Abraham J.G. first, like Smoking Chicken. You wanted him because he was a dope producer. He did Split Personality in 92. Tell us about him and how he influenced a lot of other producers, Evan Paul and G.
Talk about Psycho?
Psycho, yeah.
Tyrone Bell.
About Psycho.
Yeah, Tyrone cut them beats, man. I'm going to tell you something. Tyrone take a little Casio, man. He had a little keyboard, right? Because we had a lot of equipment took from the studio. Pat had opened the door and somebody came in that live studio. But anyway, we had to hook up some stuff. But Tyrone had a little Casio board, man. I don't know how the hell he made that bass come out of there, but it would rattle the whole room. So this dude was so creative with putting sounds together. He'd take the littlest shit and have that shit bumping, man. That's how deep Tyrone Bell is, man. Psycho, man. That boy bad. He produced that Smoking Chicken on 8-Ball and them and a few other joints he did on them, you know. He's truly bad. Then he did his stuff, Split Personality, Street Player. He was in that group, I think, America Most Wanted. Then he was in the group with the Men of the Hour. you know, and they was out of Westwood. You got to understand, all these little cats was from different parts of Memphis. You got North Memphis, Skinny Pimp. You got Al Capone. You got a lot of them from out there in North Memphis. Then you got South Memphis, you know, with people, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you got Black Haven, Tila, Cody, 8-Ball, MJG, Orange Mound. So they was all from different areas, man. It wasn't no just same area. And then all these cats was around each other. You got Blast Cap. He was from out there in Germantown, like our net area. So they came from everywhere, man. You know, it's just as I got overloaded. And at that time, I really just didn't have the budget like I needed because I was going into my money, man. And the duplicate
so much
was lying me out, man. Yeah, man, it was crazy. It could have been on 4P or any of them if I had really hooked up with dude from that Priority Records, man. We didn't talk, though. I went in there, you know.
Who'd you talk to? Brian? Or?
I don't know if Paul's been Ryan, but Easy had told me his name was Greedy, some little nickname type shit, man. And we didn't get a chance to talk because they was moving, man. They was moving everything upstairs. I don't know if we went down. And we just left the CDs, bios, and some pictures. And at that time, we got back to Memphis and hooked up with Joy Boy, and that's when Pat shit started rocking.
Yeah, I had pictures with you guys, man, with the Ghetto Boys, you know, saying so many different people, Ice Cube. I mean, what was it like at that time, man? And were you able to, you know what I'm saying, like, network any ideas with any, like, Rap-A-Lot or Ruthless? Or do you have any plans of working with any of those guys at
You know, at that time, everybody was getting their stuff to going. You got to keep in mind, Q had just left NWA, man. We was trying to holler these and them at that time, but they had us running around, man, like they was playing a little game, telling us, meet us here, meet us there. We'd be way in Hollywood, man. Don't know about, you know, so some shit like that went on, man. But it was different. And then when you're trying to get with labels, and then you got to keep in mind, we out the South. We got a sound, so they already looking some kind of way, you know what I mean? It was love, but they was just wasn't ready for what we was doing. We was into what they was doing, though. But they expired us a lot on shit.
They,
you know what I'm saying?
One thing I want to talk about before we get to this song, you know, of course they had Fuck the Police, which, you know, they got a lot of backlash from it. Letter from the FBI the whole night. You guys, you know, Gangster Pat is shooting on Narcs. Man, it was a highly controversial record, man. What kind of backlash did you guys get, and how serious was it at that time?
I don't know, man. We got a little backlash. I remember one time they came in the studio, had all us jacked up, but they was looking for my boy, Diamond J. He was a fugitive at that time, but they didn't harass nobody because we was good. And the guns I had in that, they was registered, so. But they had everybody jacked up. We didn't really get that. I thought we would, but we didn't. And that was one of the songs that they cut. He had cut with Tone, because Tone on that record, Tone the one saying, well, God, now open up the door, and it's Jack on. I'm coming in, it's Jack on. You know, that's Tone talking on that record, man.
Yeah.
But it was bumpy because it had that Gangsta Walk beat, though, you know? We had that beat, man. We, like I said, we laid that formula. Yeah, with the guitar, wah-wah in there, Tim cut that. So, that, you know, it was flavor there, man. Tone was a big part of that Memphis thing. He was the first one, if you want to really know the truth, you know. I just was able to get in there, man, with an insight and, you know, knowing people and learning my way. You know what I'm saying? Because I always dealt with music and dealing with people. Even when I was younger, working with Xavion and a lot of different artists and living around artists like Isaac Hayes and all that. So it's kind of always around that music, man. But Tony was the one that really, hell yeah, man. And the people that I met, man, it's unbelievable, man. You know, so I'm glad I was able to, you know, to form the first label and really make it happen from there. The dream stayed alive for all of us, man. Tone and everything. Tone gonna be immortal, man. We gonna keep him in the game, man. Cause, you know, ain't nothing but love, man. You know, cause he put his work in. I never let his name not be in there, you know what I mean? I ain't like the fellas don't say shit about me, because you ask them, you don't hear Pat or none of them say shit, man. But they can back and tell me how he loved me and this and that in the text. But when it comes to talking in the conversation, our radio or media, you don't hear none of that shit. So I'm just asking if it's real love or if it ain't. If it ain't, it's all good. But I still got love for Pat, man. For real. You know, and I ain't, you know, it is what it is. I can't get mad about how a person is, man. They're going to be like they be. Shit. But I know what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. Shin, I know Shin's got another question for you before we go off into the song. You there, Shin?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm there. Yeah. Just before the question, I would say it was a shame you was not on Netflix Hip Hop Evolution from Memphis History, because you deserved it well, because you are a pioneer of Memphis. It was crazy you was not on it. I think for me,
well, you know, those are people that did that. You had DJ Paul on there, like he discovered Plymouth Rock or some shit like that. You feel me? And the guys that you see on there, of course, they should have been represented by OTI, but it went that way. That's just how they feel. That's a Memphis thing, man. All of them got the attitude like I did my own shit. So they ain't thinking about the money that was spent, the sacrifices and all kind of, you know, different things to go in and trying to help them out. You know what I mean? I spent my bread, man. You know what I mean? I didn't have to do that. So it is what it is. Netflix did what they want. You know, that's what they felt to do. They didn't do their research. That's on them, man. Shit. I'm good, because that's why I'm talking with y'all right now. I got interviews. It speaks for itself. It ain't through, because all what happened is OTS going to blow with some new shit. Kodak going to take off, and then they going to want to know the whole history. And they gonna do their research, and they're just start speaking for itself. Oh, that's him. He had 8-Ball in him. He had Gangsta Pat. That's how shit go, man. You feel me? I don't need them to co-sign for me, man. I don't give a shit. 8-Ball in him ain't gotta say nothing. They know what it was, man. They know what it took, regardless. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, they want to get mad, that's on them. Because at the end of the day, I got paid too, just like them.
Yeah, it's cool. So.
Only thing about it, they could have been millionaires. You know, they just chose to go to Suave House, and they went to Suave House, and they got what they got. He socked it to their ass. So that's that.
Yeah.
You feel?
Well, I tell you what, man. Thank you so much for.
It was just
coming on. Oh, you got another
last
one,
question?
Go ahead.
By the day. The Memphis clubs, like we said, Club Nine, Club Expo, Studio G on a 300 Bill Street. Can you tell us about the energy you had back in the early 90s when you get Spanish Fly, SMK? Can you tell us about the energy of the abundance of these clubs back in the day?
Hey, man, we just ready. We just get in that vibe, man. It was different things that we did. Sometimes, like when 8-Ball and we used to be rapping, man, we might have strippers in the corner. While they in the booth rapping some different shit. Shit that people don't even realize. And that's how you would hear all them lyrics was speeding and spitting. The different things that they was talking about. So they was seeing. And they was around it, man. Then our lifestyle was like that. You know, I was real flamboyant, man. The Benzes, Porsches, money, you know. And they seeing. They can write about that shit, man. We was able to sit down and tell them different things that they could engage in on those lyrics as well with the music. You know what I'm saying? There was a lot of energy going on. It was a lot of hopes, and it was a lot of ups and downs, you know what I mean? But we did, you know, create a sound that went from here to there, and that's why we're here talking about it. And I'm sure we're going to do a movie about this shit one day, man, because it's something else. It's so much involved, man, because it's like, I done went back and, you know, talked to Squeaky and them, not Squeaky suing and all these people, man, and we just trying to get it worked out. And all us still in Kahoot. We working right now. Squeaky and them working on, Zerk and them working on producing Kodak, some of his stuff. And he going to have a bad album, I'm telling you. And I ain't going to even speak as much on it. I'm going to let it speak for itself. You know, but he going to be one of the greats, you know. That I know.
Coming straight from the South was crazy at this time. Made Zerk, Radical T. Crazy.
Yeah, very bad, man. I talk to him every day, man. Like I say, all of them like my little brothers, man. Ain't no hate with none of them. I love all them little dudes, man. And I'm so happy that they doing something and what I can look at and whatever influence or help I did to them, man, I'm happy. I thank God, man. And I thank God I'm able to be here to even talk to you guys about it. You know what I mean? That's the beauty of it, you know? Keep it going,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? Who knows? Who knows?
Absolutely.
Man? You know?
Before we get out of here, brother, before I play this song by your artist Kodak, man, why don't you give everybody your info, man, if they want to get at you for music?
Yeah,
or
if they want to hit me, you can hit me on Reginald Boylan, B-O-Y-L-A-N-D, on Facebook, and you can hit me at Boylan, B-O-Y-L-A-N-D, 357, at gmail.com. And on Instagram or IG, you can hit me at OTS Records. And whatever you got, I'd definitely be glad to take a listen to it. I would love to work with you, and I would love to change the music so that we can have a better, you know, impact on the kids than a lot of this stuff out now. We got to teach the kids something different, man, because things are changing, and the music influenced the kids. You know, I was into that gangster, and it's cool, but the music got to change, and that's what we're going to work on, a lot of stuff. Pretty much where the music going to have a lot of messages to it. You would think twice about what you're doing. We're going to give you the hardest production you ever can imagine. But it's gonna have a message to it, like how Pop used to do. You're gonna get something out of it, man. Because the kids gotta teach them. They're doing too much, man. They're gearing into too much shit that ain't good, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they gotta get some guidance. And
keep them right, man. They need hope because they the future. We ain't got them shit. What it is? Who gonna help us when we get old? You know?
Yeah,
that's what I'm working on, man. We're going to change
that
music. That's what I talked to Kodak about that a lot, too, and he's with it, man. And it's going to be a lot of messages. It's like, take for instance, if somebody shooting in the neighborhood and hit an innocent person, we're going to check that on the song. It's going to be different concepts with the videos, you know, and I hope don't nobody bite, but if you do, I don't care because we're good. What's for me is for me. For us is for us, you know. But we are going to, you know, make an impact on the music, though, and hopefully they would, too, man. For the better, not for the worse, but for the better, you know, so that we can educate the kids a little more better than what they're getting now, man, because the mother cats, they good, the music okay, but they ain't talking about shit, man. Real tough.
No. Substance is something that's lacking.
There you go, baby. Numbers tough.
We got to bring it back. We got to bring it back. Man, I want you to, man, keep me posted, you know what I'm saying? And definitely want to have you back on again in the future, brother. You take care of yourself. You guys be safe, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And watch out for this bullshit going on out there. Kodak, yeah, man, make sure to support this single. Man, we're out here.
Yeah, going live. Yeah.
I'm fresh as a bitch out here by land, I'm hella fly. Saudi on some groupy shit, jocking, digging my vibe. Turned up with the gang in the club, going live. Don't take the spot if you step on my shoes and I ain't lying. I'm fresh as a bitch out here by land, I'm hella fly. Saudi on some groupy shit, jocking, digging my vibe. Turned up with the gang in the club, going live. Don't take the spot if you step on my shoes and I ain't lying. My outfit deceased, I'm fresh to death when I walk through the door. Real cool with the ain't no telling what a nigga throw. Plus the gang with me, got a problem, better let it go. Missy Elliott, step on my shoes and I'ma lose control. Shout out to the DJ, real talk, I rock with Solo. Girls got they phones out, tryna take a photo. I'm bouncing through the club with the stick, ain't talking pogo. And keep at least a rack on me like Reynolds Center logo. I've been popping since I killed the major challenge. Not a player, but I'm fly, so nigga crown me. I be damn, I let a crusty nigga clown me. You don't want no static, your fabric soft like a downy. I'm fresh as a bitch out here by land, I'm hella fly. Saudi on some groupy shit, jocking, digging my vibe. Turns up with the gang in the club, going live. Don't take the spot if you step on my shoes and I ain't lying. I'm fresh as a bitch out here by land, I'm hella fly. Saudi on some groupy shit, jocking, digging my vibe. Turns up with the gang in the club, going live. Don't take the spot if you step on my shoes and I ain't lying. I be turned when I'm in the club, it ain't no turning down.
I'm always on the flow. Buck jumping, ain't no standing round. Pulled up in the whip, riding new edition like Bobby Brown. Fresh about the scale, shit, I'm about to open up a couple pounds. Thirsty broad, thought I was Capri Sun, cause I got the juice. Turns up with the gang, going live like it's breaking news. Spreading money like a damn virus, I'm a walking flu. Days on, balling like Michael Jordan back in 92. About to blow, I'm a ticket bomb, yeah, yeah, yeah. No Haven, baby, brother, that's where I'm from, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like Polo G, I'm the chosen one, yeah, yeah, yeah. Want all the smoke, trying to damage my lungs, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm fresh as a bitch out here, if I land, I'm hella fly. Yeah, Saudi on some.